Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Jeff T. from the Club 520 Podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them, because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
L-A-S-I-K. LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Welcome back, everybody. The Fantasy Pros Dynasty Fantasy Football Podcast is back. I am your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports, and I'm joined by Pat Fitzmaurice at Fitz_FF on the Twitter machine. Fitzy, we were gone for the regular season, of course. Dynasty is a bigger off-season show for us, and we are officially in the off-season, although there is still football going on with playoffs and stuff. But man, it is good to be back. I'm glad to see you. How did the season treat you? Both of our teams got bounced week 18, the Steelers and the Packers. But how was the fantasy season for you?
Yeah, it went okay, Boggs. I mean, good rate of teams making the playoffs, and then it was kind of catastrophic in weeks 15 and 16. So not great there in Dynasty 2. And I've got some work to do with those teams, especially like quarterbacks. My quarterback situation in all my Dynasty leagues has just gone like... So league, my favorite league and probably my best team. I thought I was sitting pretty with Kyler Murray and Tua Tagovailoa as my top two quarterbacks. And all of a sudden, yikes. So it's going well, Boggs. It's great to do the show with you again. And yeah, man, I know I've seen a lot of chatter about people getting ready for startups.
Yeah,
everyone's excited to talk rookies and get into the rookie draft. And we're going to do rankings today and we're going to argue. It's going to be fantastic.
Of course. And today on the show, we are going to be covering running backs. Always want to start with RBs, one of the hardest positions to fill in fantasy, becoming less difficult, I think, right now. There's a lot of depth to it, especially for Dynasty. There's a lot of young talent. There's some coming in as well. On the show, we're going to try to run through our top 36, at least if we can get more than that in our allotted time, we will. But Pat, I'm ready to dive right in, man. Are you ready to go on these running backs? We're going to do 1 through 12. We're going to do RB1s first and then talk about them.
Yeah, and I will just give the caveat here, Boggs, that I think running back rankings tend to be much more volatile in Dynasty than wide receiver rankings. Like, I mean, I was looking at my own rankings, which I think I updated, like, just sitting around being lame on New Year's Eve while I was watching the college football and working on that. And I'm already looking at things that feel instantly outdated. Plus, we're about to get this enormous... it's a good year for running backs in the draft class and free agency. Like, this is one of the best.
It's a lot
free
of classes.
Agent
There's
groups.
A lot of guys in free agency. Yeah,
like,
I mean,
big ticket
tons.
Items, man. Saquon Barkley and you know, who else? Miles Sanders, Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard, David Montgomery. Like, some big ticket items here, and we're going to see a lot of like makeovers in NFL backfields.
Yeah, we really are. It's going to be, as I would like to call it, musical chairs for running backs. Now, you would think a lot of these big name free agents are going to be back with their teams. I mean, you know, Saquon should be back with the Giants. You would assume they're going to drop a bag on him, but they got to re-sign Daniel Jones too, because he's an unrestricted free agent. So there's a lot that's going to be involved with cap space and stuff like that. So you are absolutely right. Right now, I think not just for running backs, but running backs are probably one of the more volatile positions, like you said. I mean, wide receivers get volatile, not because of wide receivers, but more because of who is the quarterback, right? So we're going to have a lot of musical chairs at running backs in the offseason too. It's going to be an eventful offseason, as it always is, but it feels bigger this year because there are more free agents and there's a lot of coaching changes, as you guys know too. Watching this, you know, we're in the middle of January and we're getting a lot of interviews done. We're getting a lot of offensive coordinators being fired. There's a rumor that Byron Leftwich, after the Bucks just got stonewalled on Monday Night Football in the Super Wild Card round, that Leftwich is going to be out. So there's a lot of moving pieces here. Lots of moving pieces.
I think he's out already, Boggs. I think they
did they already can him?
I believe so, yeah.
Lordy. Yeah. See, that's how fast the news cycle goes. We start recording, Byron Leftwich gets fired. So going to be very, very interesting here. But let's start it out. Let's go with Pat's RB1s, 1 through 12. List them off, then I'll give mine, and then we'll come back for a conversation here.
All right, Boggs. Wisconsin bias at the top with Jonathan Taylor, RB1, followed by your guy, Bijan Robinson. Ooh. Yes, hasn't taken an NFL snap yet, but he is that impressive a prospect. And then the rest of the RB1s, Breece Hall, Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey is RB5, Kenneth Walker, Travis Etienne, Josh Jacobs, Austin Eckler, Javonte Williams, Tony Pollard, and Nick Chubb.
Yeah, there's we're going to be missing a couple here. This is very interesting. So I don't have the same number one. For me, I'm going to go with Christian McCaffrey. He's my RB1. Number two, also Bijan Robinson, Pat. So we are simpatico there. I love that. Number three is Saquon for me. Number four is Austin Eckler. Number five is Jonathan Taylor. Six is Ken Walker. Seven, Breece Hall. 8, Josh Jacobs. 9, Najee Harris. 10, Tony Pollard. 11, Jahmyr Gibbs, the other rookie. And we're only ranking those two rookies. The other's landing spot is going to mean a lot, so we'll talk about them in a second. And number 12, can't get rid of King Henry for me. I know Falling Knife, and he's old, and he's got a lot of tread in those tires, but he's a beast. So I still got him at 12. So I've highlighted our big differences, and let's just start at the top. Number one, JT, still your number one. Obviously a down year for the Colts this year. Also, he was plagued with injuries. The talent is there. We saw it last season. So is this about getting things right and new quarterback? They're going to have to rely on him a lot, Pat. Is that what's happening with JT sticking at number one, or is this all Wisconsin bias?
Yeah, I mean, it's not. Obviously, like the supporting cast is important, but you know, he was able to turn in this really good season with like Carson Wentz at quarterback. Like everything sort of went wrong for the Colts offense this year, and really, I think the main thing was health. But like, I don't think we're downgrading JT for health, considering that, you know, they worked him to death at Wisconsin, Boggs, 3 years where they just, you know, averaged like 23 carries a game, never got hurt, never missed a game. His only previous missed games for the Colts, I think it was just one missed game with COVID. Yeah. And that was it. So, you know, yes, not healthy in 2022, and he was a disaster as the consensus 101 in redraft leagues, and you know, arguably the single most valuable dynasty commodity going into 2022, at least in single QB leagues. So yeah, like to me, Boggs, there's no doubt about the talents.
Yes.
You know, the size and speed combination is just, you know, exotic. It's rare and exotic, and he's also proven himself to be a pretty capable pass catcher, which is something we didn't see a lot from him in college, but have seen at the NFL level. So to me, he's still the RB1.
Yeah, he is an absurd talent. It's hard, man. The top 5, 6, 7 even are just outstanding backs. So it's hard to kind of split the hairs. But that's what we're asked to do. And the reason I have Christian McCaffrey as my number one, and look, I understand a lot of people get frustrated with Christian McCaffrey. He's had a sordid past with injuries. I know that. But he had to carry the team, and he was everything for Carolina for so long. Now he doesn't have to be everything. He doesn't have to touch the ball every single play and take hits every single play for San Francisco. Plus, they have so many weapons. They're always in the red zone. They have a third string Mr. Irrelevant quarterback moving them along in the playoffs. Their offense has been great, and he is still the catalyst. It's the perfect player in the perfect system. That is why Christian McCaffrey is my number one, because I want to see what he can do with a full offseason of learning this playbook and a full offseason. And if we get him there with, if they are going back to Trey Lance, if they're sticking with Brock Purdy, I don't think it matters who the quarterback is under center for Christian McCaffrey. He had no quarterback under center for him at Carolina. So, I mean, obviously he played off Cam Newton for a while, but that was kind of the end of Cam Newton and the beginning of his career. So I know he's a little longer in the tooth. A lot of people want to put our number two guy at number one, Bijan Robinson. We'll talk about him in a second. But Christian McCaffrey is the man. Christian McCaffrey is in the best system for running backs. So I am going to stick with him at the very top. Now, before we move on and talk about more running backs, I got to tell you guys about the Daily Juice podcast. And are you tired of losing your sports bets? Make sure you are turning into the Daily Juice podcast for free FREE expert picks and predictions that will help you turn the tables. Are available on the Daily Juice podcast. It's under 15 minutes a day. Host Sean Green will give you the inside scoop on what to bet on and why. It is available, the Daily Juice podcast, on all major podcast platforms, and you can listen at bettingpros.com/dailyjuice. Please check that out. You're getting your playoff bets in. Go ahead and check out the Daily Juice podcast. We have college football, March Madness coming up. There's so much stuff to bet on. There's going to be a lot of bets on the NFL draft, which we will absolutely talk about at some point during the dynasty process here. So lots and lots of fun. All right. So let's just talk about him here, Pat. Number two, Bijan Robinson, number two for both of us, which surprised me, legit. So the only reason he's two and not one is because he's not on a team yet, and you just never know, right? There's plenty of times, Pat, where we've seen a team that already has an established running back, and everybody wants that guy to get the job, Rashad Penny and Ken Walker this year, right? You know, there's all kinds of places that will take two running backs. It almost doesn't matter, though. The only reason I have him behind Christian McCaffrey is because I think that the only way Bijan could beat CMC is if you put him in San Francisco. And obviously that's not the case, but Bijan is probably the most complete back I've ever seen walk into the NFL. And he may not be the physical specimen size-wise that Saquon was coming out, but he already has better vision, runs better routes, and has better hands, and is very, very fast. So, you know, I've been talking about Bijan on this podcast for 2 years now. So I'll let you say the words, because you have him at number two. You're in here with me. So it makes me feel pretty good about it.
I am, Boggs. And, you know, you mentioned it. He's not quite the physical athletic specimen that Saquon or Jonathan Taylor were. But, I mean, he's not that far below either.
Yeah.
You know, he's still going to be impressing people at the combine and at his pro day, and he's going to be given a featured role. I'm pretty confident in that he is not going to go somewhere where he's going to be used in committee fashion. You know, maybe it's a Breece Hall type situation where he
might
goes
start
in
committee. Yeah.
Yeah. Like there's
not gonna last long.
An incumbent. And yeah, he is just going to prove superior to whoever he might be sharing snaps with early in the season. But just the pass catching ability and how acrobatic he is making catches outside the frame of his body, how he's, you know, can gather passes without losing much speed, the change of direction. I know, like, our guy Matt Waldman has always talked about, like, one of the things he considers to be among the more important traits for running back is the ability to change direction without gearing down, without losing speed. And you totally see that with Bijan Robinson.
The cuts are unbelievable.
Yeah. And Boggs, you've talked about him being a faster version of Le'Veon Bell with that vision. I totally see that when I watch Bijan Robinson, you know, throughout
his
Texas
career.
He has
incredible balance too, which it seemed to improve this year, which I didn't think he could get better, but you know, there'll be times where someone has got him down and you're like, all right, well, he's obviously going to be down there. He sticks his hand on the ground. It keeps his knees off the ground, his elbows off the ground. His balance is incredible too. So he's the complete package. And yeah, there's not a lot of spots where he can land that will lower him for me. So he's going to be at least in that top five, 100% for sure. So let's talk about another guy that we have a difference on. You are high on Breece Hall. And look, Breece Hall had a great half season. You got him at 3, a little lower on him at 7. I'll just say my concerns real quick are recovery time, because, you know, this year is going to count too. And quarterback situation in New York and them scoring points is a little concerning for me just overall. I hope it doesn't take a long time for them to figure that out. They could get Lamar Jackson in the offseason. They could have to draft a rookie. They could have to go with a grizzled old vet. I'm not real sure. So those are the things that lower him, mainly the injury, a little bit of the offense, but the talent is absolutely there and he is incredible and showed off when he was healthy.
Yeah, so he is going to be recovering from a torn ACL. And now there's, you know, they say the recovery time is typically like 8 months or so. And since he did it early in the season, he's expected to be full go for training camp. I would expect we will probably not see him play in the preseason. And I would maybe expect that 2023 turns out to be like not his best ever NFL season. Like maybe there's a little bit of a performance downtick, 5 or 10% coming off the ACL, although, you know, we've seen a lot of guys pretty much come back full go.
There's been guys that look better. And then there's been J.K. Dobbins, who, you know, has a setback and misses a big chunk of the following year as well. So,
yeah. Although, I mean, Dobbins, I think, had a more complicated knee injury than Hall did. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Hall was just the ACL, if I'm remembering correctly, and not any other ligament damage or cartilage or anything. So, Boggs, in the 4-game run from week 3 to week 6, where Breece Hall finally like clearly overtook Michael Carter and was getting at least a 50% snap share in those games, he averaged a little over 120 yards from scrimmage and scored 3 TDs in 4 games. And then in the game he got hurt, he played 12 snaps against the Broncos and had 4 carries for 72 yards and a touchdown. So
that was a strong Broncos defense. I mean, they had a bad year, but the defense was great.
Yeah, and that 4-game stretch, Boggs, like he wasn't going against total pushover defenses. It was Bengals, Steelers, Dolphins, Packers. So it wasn't like, you know, no Chargers, no Texans, like none of these really putrid run defenses. The interesting comp here, Boggs, is, Kenneth Walker versus Breece Hall. And you've got Walker higher, and I'm a little surprised, to be honest. Like, I'm not knocking Walker, but I think we both agree that Breece Hall was like the better prospect.
Yes.
And then I think like early in the season, Hall maybe reached a peak that Walker never quite got to. I mean, Walker did have some good, he had his own 4-game stretch where I think he scored like 7 touchdowns.
Yeah.
But 2 of those games were against the Cardinals and 1 was against the Chargers. So he was picking on putrid defenses. It's no knock on Walker, who I've got as my RB6. But to me, Hall is exceptional. And, you know, when he did all that early in the season, Boggs, they still had the crappy QB situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very true. The QB situation was bad. They did have to fire LaFleur this offseason, which I know that Sala wasn't happy about. So they are bringing in a new OC. There's a little bit there too. New OC. The offensive line had injuries for the Jets. I mean, it's like death by a thousand cuts. By the way, between Hall and Walker, to me, we're splitting hairs. I have no issue with anyone seeing what Hall did, seeing the upside and saying, I got to take Hall. My whole reasoning here is that running back careers in the NFL are short. One of these guys is coming off a major knee injury. One of them isn't. So that's basically what it boils down to me between those guys. And that's why I have Walker ahead, and the improved play of the offensive line and the quarterback play that Seattle got out of Geno this year was so much better than I expected. And, why the hell did Ken Walker only get 2 carries in the second half of that game against the Niners? We'll never. That my buddy CK, who I do a show on ITL with, was talking about that the whole second half. He's like, why are they not giving the ball to Walker? And I was right there with him. You know, Penny's a free agent. Walker clearly took this lead job. And between Seattle and New York, who's going to score more touchdowns next year? I think it's going to be Seattle. They still have the great wide receivers as well, and Geno looked good. So I'm going to roll with Walker because running back careers are short, and I know he's not coming off the injury. That's the one little caveat for me. There's a guy that I have in here. I've got Austin Eckler at 4, who you have at 9. I'm assuming this is age and size concerns for you, putting him at 9 and not having him up at the top, because, I mean, very few guys scored over 300 points, and Austin Eckler, 375. He was almost at 400 points this year. Another huge 18 touchdown year. You know, everyone said touchdown regression, touchdown regression, touchdown regression, and there was. He scored 20 or 21 in 2021, and he was all the way down to 18 this year. But he also started the stretch with not a lot of scores and then picked it up. He's just, right now, he's a upper echelon running back in the NFL. I think he will for 2 more years. After that, the size is going to be a big concern, but flags fly forever, money spends. Give me that championship right now. That's why I got Austin Eckler so high.
For me, it is an ageist thing, Boggs. I mean, I'm, you know, like, admittedly, I am more ageist at the running back position than at other positions. And, you know, that's why I have McCaffrey at 5 and you have him at 1. I have Eckler at 9. You have him at 4. I just, like, he is going to turn 28 in May. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, touchdown regression does maybe factor in it.
Sure.
And the fact that he, like, maybe because he is used in the way that he's used as kind of a pass-catching specialist, like, maybe he is going to retain his value a little better than some other backs might age a little more gracefully.
They just fired Lombardi. Possible. They could change a little stuff too. They got a new OC. So could be changes, I mean, there as well.
Like, the value for a guy who's never had a 1,000-yard rushing season. like, and I don't hold that against him. I mean,
come on,
like,
old man, we got to get over that stuff. That was bad for me too. Looking
He makes up
for it on the other side.
Totally,
right?
Boggs. I totally agree. Like, I don't mind like that he is not taking this beating as a smaller back. Like, I actually think that's good, and that might preserve him a little bit longer. I'm just, if I'm doing a startup draft, it's kind of not the sort of guy I'm targeting.
Okay.
But I have no issues. Like, I would not be, you know, I've got a beef with you having him ahead of Jonathan Taylor. But other than that, I have no real beefs.
And by the way, like, my top 5 is like a tier. So if you want to move those guys kind of anywhere in that tier, I understand. My whole thing there is I just want to see who Indy hires as head coach, who they get in as OC, and who they get in at quarterback. And that's a lot of questions right now. Like Pat said at the beginning of this episode, this is more fluid right now. You know, so these rankings will change, and I could easily put Taylor ahead of Eckler, ahead of any of these guys. If they make major strides and changes, they get Sean Payton in there, add Tom Brady, you know, okay, well, now there's something different, right? Probably not Tom Brady, but you know what I mean? A good veteran quarterback that will make the system hum. That will change a lot for me. But right now it's, you know, Jeff Saturday in tears in Indianapolis. So I'm just not happy about it. We both have a couple guys in here that the other guy doesn't have. So let's go through those real quick. For me, it's Najee and Jahmyr Gibbs. For you, it's Travis Etienne and Javonte Williams. So you start here. Tell me about Travis Etienne being in your top 7 and Javonte Williams as an RB1 for you.
Yeah. The one thing that is interesting with Etienne, like, he is, I thought he would do more as a pass catcher since he was such a prolific pass catcher at Clemson and was going to be playing with Trevor Lawrence again. And surprisingly, they did not use him in that capacity as much as I thought he would. And I think there's room for growth there. You know, maybe it's a red flag that they were almost throwing to Jamichael Hasty more aggressively or have been than they've been throwing to Etienne. But like, Etienne as a runner has been sensational. Like, he's everything I thought he would be there and more. So it's an ascendant offense. I'm still very excited about the talent. And if they fully tap into his pass catching potential, I think there's, like, you know, top three is a ceiling for him.
I don't know if I have him that high, but I did move him up. I moved him up, and I moved him only up to 14 after looking at some things. And the things that concerned me were little nitpicky things. Like you said, I would like to see more passes thrown his way. This is a premier running back in the NFL that we know can catch. He came in with route running experience and caught a lot of passes from Trevor Lawrence at Clemson. So little worrisome, like you said, that they didn't do that. And they used Jamichael Hasty. I was more about the touchdowns coming into my rankings and the lack thereof for him. We know touchdowns are finicky. They will come and go from year to year. But you're going to add Calvin Ridley. Evan Ingram had such a big stretch. And I'm not, like you said, in terms of the pass catching and them changing off, I'm not completely convinced that they're out of the running back market. I could easily see them adding someone here. So I just want to get over the hump there before I make him an RB1. Tell me about Javonte.
Just real quick. Like, to me, there's no doubt about the talent, Boggs.
The talent's there. Yeah.
So it's just, you know, in the injury thing, does he come back fully from the torn ACL? And I think he will. And role, like, is he going to have to share with someone the way he shared with Melvin Gordon in his first year and a half or you know, year plus?
God, so, we were just at the point to shed that, too.
I know, man. I know. It was disappointing. But as far as like power, speed, pass catching ability, like he's shown it all. Like, I have no doubt about the talent. So feel pretty comfortable putting him still as an RB1.
Yeah. I understand that. And, you know, he's a guy, once again, are we sticking with Russ? Who is going to be coaching Denver? Who's going to be the OC? There's just a lot of unanswered questions there, which is why I'm a little lower on Javonte. I could easily see myself moving him up. So that's a possibility for me. The two guys that I have here, Najee Harris, I know everyone's going to want to call me a homer, and maybe it is, but it's just about seeing him and seeing the difference. He was clearly not right in the first half of the season. He had the Lisfranc injury day one of camp. They kind of sat on it. They underplayed it. They undersold it. He even undersold it, but you could tell it was like he was running in quicksand for half the season. The bye week came, Pat, and I saw a different player through the stretch. And you really saw it at the end where the offensive line came together. I mean, I think this is the only time it'll happen because the Steelers offensive line wasn't great. They played almost every snap of the season together. Yeah, that is just so rare. You don't see that. So the line started to get better. He started to get healthier. And I saw the guy that we saw last year. And I think we're going to see a full season of him in that with a second year QB instead of a rookie QB in a QB situation next year. I just think the offense gets better as a whole. So, and I think Najee leads it. So Najee has to be an RB1 for me. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, it's with Najee, it is so much of his value has been volume driven. And like, what happens? I'm not sure what's left for him if they at some point start to make it more of a committee, which at times we almost saw them leaning towards with Jalen Warren this year. And I agree, Boggs. I mean, obviously there was a big change down the back half of the season. He looked more like rookie year Najee Harris. I think the Steelers can still do more to improve that offensive line, which at times has been a major problem for Najee. But, you know, when even good Najee this year looked a lot like James Conner, and no one is falling all over themselves to get James Conner on their fantasy team. You know what I mean? Like, he's average.
Well, you've got him ranked too low. We'll talk about that too.
Najee Harris has averaged under 4 yards per carry in each of his first 2 years. And I know we've got the offensive line to blame, the injury at the start of the season to blame. He's averaged 4.7 yards per target over his career, only 4.3 this year.
That's a lot of Roethlisberger. Yeah,
it is. It is. You know, those are not inspiring numbers, I would say. It just, like, you know, he's a capable pass catcher, but not a guy who's going to break a lot of big games. Not a guy who's going to be running a lot of wheel routes, probably. And Najee just, like, he's no Le'Veon Bell. He just doesn't make guys miss. So I'm just
He runs over him, though.
He does.
And he jumps over him too when that athleticism is there, which we saw in the back half. Even in that cold game, he was jumping over guys against the Raiders. So I just think there's a difference between and once we get the offensive lineman and get a quarterback that can throw the ball downfield, which seems like it might be Pickett, I think he's going to be pretty solid as well. And the last guy that I have in this top tier that we haven't seen yet is Jahmyr Gibbs. And I just, he looks so much like, I think just in production and what he does on the field, it reminds me so much of Kamara. He's a different style of player than Kamara, but that same type of usage I expect for him in year one. And, you know, he's behind Bijan in this class, but if he came out with Hall and Walker, I might have had him ahead of those guys. So at least he would be in that group for sure. He is a premier running back, and coming into the NFL, obviously landing spot means a lot for everyone, and it will mean a lot for him too. But I think wherever he lands, he's probably going to be an RB1 for me. So you know, those are our RB1s. We're going to step into RB2s here in just a second. But I got to tell you guys about prop bets right here in our prop bet cheat sheet. Our prop bet cheat sheet at Betting Pros takes the guesswork out of finding the best bets by comparing our projections to sportsbook odds. Get an edge over the sportsbook today with our prop bet cheat sheet at bettingpros.com/props. Get in on those props. Props are the most fun bet to make, in my opinion here. All right, I'm ready to go to RB2 unless there's any other RB1s that you want to talk about, Pat.
Jahmyr Gibbs will be a good segue, Boggs, because he's at the top of my RB2 list.
Perfect.
And I was just going to make the point, I agree with you. I'm hoping he can be like maybe even a better version of DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, like a good version.
Yeah, Kamara's a good comp, but I will say this, Boggs. I think there are going to be some people who do not get as excited about Jahmyr Gibbs as we are because of his weight. Like, there are a lot of people that 200-pound threshold is a big one, and people want to see 210, 215. We're not going to see Gibbs check in at 210, and he's listed at like either 200 or 201, I think, for Alabama. I highly doubt he's 200 pounds right now.
Yeah, I understand that. And like, there's a lot of small backs that don't work, right? And I get that, but there's a lot of small backs that are working right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing, like the other guy and, you know, a big crush of mine in this draft class, who's even lighter than Gibbs, is Devon Achane of Texas A&M. And, you know, I know you can't say anything good about a Texas A&M guy, but to me, like he could be, you know, a Warwick Dunn type guy who maybe you're not pounding him as a workhorse, but like set him up with, find the Mike Allstott for Devon Achane that Warwick Dunn used to have as a tandem. You know, find the Thunder and Achane can be the Lightning. So like,
yeah,
I'm not worried about weight with these guys. They're pretty exciting. And you know,
Gibbs is the opposite of Najee, where you know, Najee gets his, it's all based on volume, and look, volume's king. You know, D-Bro talked about it a lot on the flagship show, that volume is king in the NFL. So, but there are guys that do it without all that volume. Austin Eckler being like the number one prime example of that, even though he does get a ton of volume. But like you said, in the run game, not as much as you would expect for a running back, but Gibbs is going to be one of those guys. So, all right, Pat, give us 13 through 24. Who you got? RB2s. All right,
Jahmyr Gibbs at 13. Ramondre Stevenson at 14, who's about to lose competition with Damian Harris. I assume that the Patriots are not going to re-sign Harris, a free agent. At 15, Damian Pierce, Najee Harris, Derrick Henry, DeAndre Swift, Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, Rashad White, J.K. Dobbins, Aaron Jones, and Miles Sanders. Kind of a placeholder rank with Miles Sanders because, you know, we're going to be moving him either up or down depending on the landing spot in free agency.
Absolutely. For me, number 13 is Nick Chubb. 14 is Travis Etienne, who we talked about before. 15, Joe Mixon. 16, Dalvin Cook. 17, Ramondre Stevenson. 18, Javonte Williams. 19, DeAndre Swift. 20, Aaron Jones. 21, James Conner. 22, A.J. Dillon. 23, Damian Pierce. And number 24 is J.K. Dobbins for me. So we have some differences here, for sure. The first one that I see on your list is you have Damian Pierce at 15. I have him at 23. Now, look, he's still an RB2 to me, right? So I still want him in that range. My thing with Damian Pierce is we saw great flashes in the beginning. He definitely hit the rookie wall, and he never carried a ton at Florida either. Not nearly the type of role that he had for the Texans. So the talent is there. We know that 100%. That's locked in. That's why he is for sure an RB2 for me. If I move Pierce, it won't be down by very much unless they went out and drafted like Bijan or something crazy, right? For me, it's I'm not convinced they don't bring someone in because we saw him hit the rookie wall and he didn't do it at Florida. So he might be the Aaron Jones to AJ Dillon in this system, but he would still be an A under most scenarios. So that's why he's just a little lower in my rankings. But what do you think about Dameon Pierce?
Yeah, that's fair. He is going to have more competition than Rex Burkhead and Dare Ogunbowale and Royce Freeman next year. No question. I think he's still going to be the primary, though. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah. Bugs, I mean, I thought the preseason hype got totally out of control on Dameon Pierce, and it turned out I was wrong. Like, what we saw on tape was pretty impressive. And, you know, he did hit the rookie wall. But I saw pretty much everything. Man, does that guy run hard.
And he does. He runs like he's angry at the ground, too.
Oh, my God. Like, he is not afraid of contact. He's quick. He catches passes. So I'm pretty smitten with him. And, you know, even if we do get some more competition and he has to yield some of that workload, I think that might be offset by presumed improvement in the Houston passing game and offense overall.
Yeah, I can absolutely see it. And look, this is a guy, like I said, I don't think I'll be moving him down. I think if he moves, it'll be up because look, the Texans have a lot of needs, right? And running back has to be low on that list. There are plenty of guys that are UDFAs that make an impact. So I think that a running back is fairly low on their list. So he's going to stick in the RB2s for me. And I think he only can go up in my opinion, in my rankings. The other guy that you had on this list that we have a decent sized difference on is Rashad White. You have a 21. I have a 36, more of an RB3 to me, but I'll say this after watching the game last night and seeing him, it wasn't impressive, hugely impressive plays, but it was getting 3 when you should have got -1. It was getting 9 when you should have got 3. He looked even more improved, and Fournette looked more dusted yesterday than I've seen him in the past. So I think I will probably flip those guys because right now I still have Fournette ahead of White. But I don't know if I can get quite where you are with him yet. So tell me about Rashad White.
He's better and younger than Fournette. Like, to me, there's no question that he's
better. I won't argue
with
that.
Yeah, like, I mean, I've just seen it all year. I think he's better. And we can argue about whether Lenny is dusted or not. And I think, you know, you can take either side of that argument and make a pretty good case. But I do think White is better. I love how versatile his skill set is. Just, you know, sub 4.5 speed, enough power. Really good pass catcher and can pass block, which, you know, we don't get fantasy points for, but does matter to NFL coaches.
Keeps him on the field.
Yeah. And he is tough. You're not bringing him down with an arm tackle. So I think eventually he kind of pulls ahead of Leonard Fournette here, who's still under contract with the Bucs for another 2 years, I believe. So I think it's going to be primarily White's backfield starting next year.
Yeah. And I can see that too. And I tell you what, Rashad White shoots up if Brady isn't there, because if Brady leaves and, you know, Leonard Fournette is still there, Brady was keeping Fournette on the field. I think
he was, but Brady did check down a lot to both. I mean, Brady was such a check down machine that there were plenty of targets left over for White, even though Fournette was getting massive amounts too, you know?
Yes, absolutely. And I hate to see him split. I'd rather just see them cut Fournette, have him go somewhere else, and, you know, have him be the two to Dameon Pierce. That's fine. I mean, it's kind of copycat and same type of stuff they do, but Fournette can catch the ball. So, you know, I would like to see, if Brady's not there, I'd like to see Fournette somewhere else. A couple guys I have here, I got James Conner at 21. And look, James Conner has a sordid injury history. I'm not going to try to go out on any limbs in for him here, but you have Kyler Murray getting hurt late in the season and a new coaching staff coming in to revamp and run way more. They're going to run the ball a lot more this year. So I just think Connor keeps that volume. It's about staying on the field. I think the further he gets away from all of his cancer stuff and his previous injuries, the stronger he looks. So this is a rare guy that, you know, he's peaking. It's a year or two left, but I think it's a year or two of premier type of carries and volume for him. So it's really about the next couple seasons for him. This is a guy that, you know, if you have a young overall philosophy, you're not going to roster. And I completely understand that. But for me, I still like James Conner. What are your thoughts on Conner real quick?
Yeah, just so many variables here, Boggs. Like, I mean, I've been really impressed by what he's done the last 2 years, but it's just a matter of when does Kyler come back? Who is calling the shots in this offense? Who else do they add to the backfield?
That's fair.
It's one of those things where, I mean, I could see moving him up if they don't spend a draft pick until day three on a running back and don't sign a significant free agent.
Right.
Like, I'll move Conner up for sure. And if I like the hire as their new coach or the offensive coordinator
right now.
Right. This is
what we talked about. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's slightly the ageist thing too, but like, no disrespect for Conner. It's just, you know, kind of a lot of moving pieces for a guy whose window of opportunity here is probably just a couple years.
Yes, it definitely. I mean, the window is closing on him for sure. The sun is setting on him as a premier running back, but I think we got two more years of it. So we'll see with Conner. And once again, this is a guy that I could move down. You know, I say Damian Pierce, and I have Damian Pierce lower than him right now. But if they don't do anything, Pierce would definitely go ahead of Conner for me, just overall. I got A.J. Dillon at 22. You have him at 27. That's not a big difference. It's only five spots, but it is a difference in RB2 versus RB3. So what is it about Dillon that keeps him down there for you?
I probably had him around where you have him last year at this time, Boggs. Like, I might have even had him at 19, 20. So obviously a little disappointed by the way this season turned out. It seems like they keep his workloads light until like it gets into the cold weather months. And then they really want to sort of shift things in favor of Dillon and away from Aaron Jones. I just wonder, Boggs, if like this is kind of it for AJ Dillon. Like, I don't think he ever becomes a Derrick Henry or even James Conner type workhorse.
Okay.
Or at least, you know, what we've seen from James Conner the last couple of years. I don't think there's much more to be tapped from his pass.
No meat
catching
on the bone. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's a capable pass catcher for a guy who's built like that, but he's never going to be a 50 catch guy. He's just not that kind of a guy. So, I mean, I think you're looking at kind of an old school, who's the old batter? TJ Duckett for the Falcons. Like, he's like a TJ Duckett plus, you
okay.
know? Going way back, I know there are a lot of viewers who are like, who the hell is
he's a Ron Dane type. Yeah, I mean, that might be further than TJ Duckett. But yeah, he's a B right now. And I understand that. I think for me, what I like about Dillon is the fact that he's a beast. He's physically enormous. And he's not wrecking his body with a bunch of carries right now. So if he does move on and go to a different team, I think he can be a premier running back for a different team eventually. So I do think he's, you know, he's on the Packers who, you know, we're either going to get Aaron Rodgers again and the offense is going to be good, or they're going to get a new quarterback and have to rely on the run game even more. So I think both scenarios are kind of positive for him there. Plus, because he's not getting every single carry like guys do on their rookie contract, he can sign a second deal and kind of extend his career out because of what's happening with him sitting behind Aaron Jones right now. So that's kind of why I have him more in that role, because I see him as a more premier guy. This is kind of opposite of James Conner. You might not get it for the next two seasons, but then he could take off and you got him, you know, you can get him cheaper than where I have him right now. Let's go to RB3s here, Pat. Who do you have starting from 25 on down to 36?
All right. So at 25, I had Brian Robinson, and I'm probably going to move one of those guys. If I were redoing the rankings today, I'd probably drop him a little bit.
Okay.
So Brian Robinson, David Montgomery, A.J. Dillon, Cam Akers, who I would probably move up on the strength of his finish, Alvin Kamara, Antonio Gibson, Leonard Fournette, Isaiah Pacheco, Khalil Herbert, and James Cook, Tyler Allgeier, who needs to come up, and Ezekiel Elliott.
All right. So I have at 25, Tyler Allgeier. Then 26, I have Fournette, who we already talked about, probably moving him down. 27 is Miles Sanders. 28 is Zeke. 29 is David Montgomery. 30 is also Alvin Kamara for me. I get you have him at 29. 31, I have Jamal Williams. 32, I have Brian Robinson. 33, I have Akers. 34, I have Alexander Mattison. 35, I have Isaiah Pacheco. And then 36, Rashad White, who we talked about. I will probably also move him up a little bit. So let's start where you kind of ended there with Tyler Allgeier saying he needed to move up. I have him at 25. You have him at 35. Why are you going to move him up?
Oh, yeah. So as I mentioned, Boggs, I think I was doing these rankings updates on New Year's Eve. So that was right before week 17. And then like Allgeier has terrific weeks in week 17 and week 18. Man, like he really proved himself to be a pretty capable all-around back for the Falcons during the late season stretch. I think they're still going to be extremely run heavy because I don't think Arthur Smith is going anywhere.
Right.
I think someone else talked about this, and I wish I could remember who it was so I could give them proper credit, but like they almost talked about Cordero Patterson being kind of a meat shield for Allgeier because he's under contract for another year, which might discourage them for going after someone who could like pose a more serious threat to Allgeier's workload. And, you know, maybe Caleb Huntley poses a little bit of that threat because I think he's pretty good, too.
He was excellent down the stretch. Yeah.
I mean, really, you know, a guy who good underrated. Power back, very underrated. But yeah, just like what we saw from Allgeier down the stretch was really impressive. So I think I am too low on him, Boggs, and I'm probably going to be closer to where you were putting him in around 25 looks pretty good to my eye.
Yeah, I like that spot for him. And this was a guy I wasn't sure on. Like, I liked him coming in the draft because of his physicality. This is, you talk about a dude that looks like he's angry at the ground when he runs. I mean, he is planning and going, and he is not afraid of contact. Played linebacker at BYU, so no one should be surprised by that. It was a lack of experience as a running back, specifically in the run game as well, but he held up decently there. So, and like you said, Cordero is still there. Unless he decides to retire because he's closer to my age than he is Tyler Allgeier's age, which isn't good for NFL running backs, right? So, you know, he could retire, but they have Caleb Huntley, who they like as well, and they have so many other needs on this roster, a lot like the Texans. You know, getting a running back is not priority A number one. And when you have guys that went late or you picked up off the scrap heap like Cordero and it has worked for you, why wouldn't you continue with that strategy? Plus, you know, Arthur Smith adjusted this whole offense to cover up for that crappy offensive line that cannot pass block at all and got Matt Ryan dang near killed in 2020 or in 2021, excuse me. He just adjusted the offense to run the ball more. So I don't think, like you said, Pat, that that is changing a lot. So I'm right there with you in terms of him. Jamal Williams, 47, Pat. Guy just had 1,100 yards and 17 touchdowns. He is a free agent, so he may not end up back in Detroit. But I think if there is ever a time you need to give money to a running back, this is it. This is a leader in your locker room. The guy kind of seems to be the heartbeat of the offense. And let's run it back and do the same thing with him because I think we've kind of proven that DeAndre Swift is not going to be one of those top tier upper echelon running backs that we thought he was. His size is just keeping him off the field. He gets hurt all the time. So Jamal, I think, could have this type of role for the next couple of seasons, and that's a good role to have. Obviously, no one is going to expect 17 touchdowns again, so that's why he lands in the RB3 instead of the RB2 here for me. Well, you gotta pull him up a little bit there, Pat. You got him a little too low, don't you?
It does feel disrespectful as a Packer fan who loves Jamal. I mean, Jamal's one of the most charismatic guys in the league. Great locker room guy. You know, we saw that when they were the Lions were featured on Hard Knocks, Boggs. But Jamal Williams, like, we know the touchdown regression is coming from him. And we also saw him like completely disappear from the Lions passing game. Like he would go weeks without getting a target over the second half of the season. So, you know, in dynasty leagues, which tend to be PPR, like that brings his value down significantly, and just plus the age thing, Bog. So that's why, I mean, I see him as the kind of guy you maybe try to acquire for like, you know, a draft pick if you are in win now mode. Like if the window is open now and this is a guy who can either potentially start for you or add depth to your running back room.
We don't add him now. You add him after the first 2 weeks of the season when he puts up bad games. Then you go and get him. You can't do it now coming off this great season. He's going to cost too much, right? Just in terms of strategy.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, he's the touchdowns were just so insane that they have blown up his value. I think the bubble is a little high right now, Boggs, and I don't want to buy when the bubble is about to potentially burst.
I completely understand that. The other guy that I have in here that is also an RB4 for you, Alexander Mattison, I have at 34. And I got to tell you, Pat, I am just excited to see what this guy can do out of the shadow of Dalvin Cook and given a role, even if it's a B role, right? Like put him in Houston with Damian Pierce and see what happens there. I think he would lead that backfield by the end of the season if that was the case, because I think this is a premier NFL running back that's been sitting behind a top five NFL running back in Dalvin Cook over the course of his career. So, you know, this is a guy that, you know, you can't put the workload on him because he didn't have it. So he's coming in with fresh legs somewhere, and I'm excited to see what he can do. Also graded out very well all around on PFF. So landing spot is going to be enormous for him. If he goes back to Minnesota, he's going to be basically worthless behind Cook unless Cook gets hurt. So I can't imagine that he does that. I think he's got to go somewhere where they need a running back. And there's a couple teams that are going to need running backs this year. So I'm very excited for him. And if he gets a lead role, he's at least an RB3 to me.
There was a time when I was excited about Alexander Mattison reaching free agency, Boggs. I'm a little less excited now because I think
you've been waiting too long.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a 4-year wait. And I think in year one and year two, we saw a lot of glimpses that got you excited about his potential as a feature back. And the last 2 years, year three and year four, maybe Mattison did not give me quite enough of those glimpses to keep my level of excitement high. And Boggs, I don't think anyone is bringing Mattison in free agency to be a lead guy. I think they're bringing him in to contribute to a committee type situation. You know, like maybe he winds up in Miami or Carolina where it's multiple guys, but I don't think anyone is going to turn the keys to a backfield over to Alexander Mattison. Could be wrong about that though.
If he goes to Miami, everybody get ready because my hype train will be crazy for him. I will be all over him. But it's an interesting point. Obviously, the landing spot is going to mean a lot for him because I'm the opposite. I think he does go somewhere for a lead job. I think he might sign for less money for a job where he can lead for sure, because the guy's been sitting for 4 years behind Dalvin Cook. Like you said, guy wants to lead, you know.
So you're more excited about Mattison landing somewhere than Kareem Hunt, who I believe we both have at RB 40. And it seems like Hunt's another guy who a couple of years ago, like, oh man, if only this guy weren't buried behind Nick Chubb. And now it's like, well, he didn't really.
Well, remember, he was great with Kansas City. So he's another guy that I do like. I just wonder if that's a guy that might settle for a role. Like if he went to Houston, who's the lead back? Is it Kareem or is it Pierce?
Oh, I think it's Pierce.
I think it's Pierce too, but I think that's closer to 50-50. But I think the same thing with Mattison. I think if Mattison goes there, it's probably still Pierce, but I could see Mattison winning that job. I could see Hunt winning that job. They're kind of in that same category for me, but I'm just, maybe it's shiny new toy syndrome. Maybe it's because I watched him at Boise State and I was like, man, this guy could be real good. And he just hasn't had the opportunity. I think I've been waiting maybe a little too long. Maybe that's it. Maybe I'm a little too excited for him. We're going to wrap it up here, Pat. Is there anyone that we haven't talked about that you just want to mention their name? And it can be from the top. You know, we didn't talk about Tony Pollard being in our top 10 there. We both have him up there. Obviously, Zeke could be cut, but Pollard's a free agent right now. Maybe the Cowboys don't have enough cap room to sign him. Maybe he goes to Miami. I mean, if he goes to Miami, look out.
Yeah.
He's going to be crazy valuable.
And the funny thing is, like, I don't think either of us expect Tony Pollard to be, you know, some sort of 23 touch a game workhorse or something. But if you just expand his role the tiniest bit, 10% yeah. more touches, and you're cooking with gas here, Boggs. I mean, he is a high level RB1 if that happens, if the offense is reasonably decent and not, you know, some sickly Indianapolis Colts situation. like we were talking about with Jonathan Taylor. I think Kamara, it's interesting. We both have him in RB3 territory, but he's getting older.
The suspension this year, Pat. That's the biggest.
Right, thing. And the looming suspension. We know that Can got kicked down the road legally for him, but he's probably facing at minimum, what, 4 or 6 games this year? So
probably.
I mean, there's some other kind of ambiguous guys. Like, I think we both are intrigued by what we saw from Isaiah Pacheco and James Cook this year.
James Cook. Yeah. I'm afraid they add a running back because that's a team that has, like, you know, whatever you call it, free picks, I guess, you know, they can do whatever. So, you know, they could easily pick up a Gibbs or, you know, someone like that. I mean, Bijan might fall back to them just because of the way running backs are. So, that's my only concern for Cook. But I really like Cook. And if they don't take someone, he'll be moving way up in my rankings.
Yeah. One more quick guy, Boggs. Cam Akers.
I'm lukewarm on Cam Akers. I'm glad that McVay's back and he looks so good down the stretch and they ended up cutting Henderson and not him. So that's all great news for him. But if Stafford's gone, I just don't know what this offense is going to look like. Obviously, Cooper Kupp is still going to be the man and they'll be handing it off a lot, but I don't know. There's a lot of the talent is there. I really like Cam Akers in terms of talent, but his off the field stuff, his fight with the coaching staff shows you how quickly that stuff can turn for him. But he bounced back and performs so well. It's hard. He's one of the more difficult players to rank, I think, right now.
Very much so. I mean, I was so excited about him in the offseason. Then, you know, flash forward to week one, opening night, Thursday night, and he's getting 3 carries for 0 yards and playing behind Daryl Henderson all night. And then flash forward to the end of the season where he's pretty much playing the role I thought he was going to be playing all along. So, yeah, that was, you know, the ping pong ball in a tornado type of, you know, oscillating value season for him. Hopefully we get a little more of a defined role for him by spring and we know the situation a little more. So hard guy to pin down for sure.
We'll be going deeper in the offseason. Obviously there's a lot of question marks lower, like where is Eli Mitchell now that Christian McCaffrey is around? Where does Damian Harris land? If any of these guys don't come back, if Zeke gets cut, where does he go? Is J.K. Dobbins getting cut after that whole mess with the Ravens and how their season ended? Who's going to be the lead back in Baltimore? Please, God, don't draft Bijan. I could see them doing that, but I don't want him on the Ravens. I'm a Steelers fan. So, I mean, it'd be great fantasy-wise. He'd be unbelievable there, but I don't want to see it. He also wouldn't catch any passes there because they don't throw to the running backs. But anyway, I mean, there's a lot of scenarios still to break down with running backs, and we will go deeper later in this offseason. So please stick with us. Remember to follow us on Twitter at Bogman Sports for myself, at Fitz_FF for Pat. And we're going to be bringing you a Stages centered around Dynasty Fantasy Football on the Fantasy Pros Discord. Very soon, we are starting to plan that. We are going to definitely pick it up by February. So maybe next week, maybe in February, but at least by February, we will have that for you. So just pay attention to the show, pay attention to our social medias, and we'll have all kinds of Dynasty coverage. Pat, it is great to be back, man. Are you happy to be back?
Oh, so happy, Boggs. I mean, it feels like, you know, feels like we never left.
That's right. That's right. Simpatico here. I love it. And we had a lot more just way down the ranks of guys ranked in the exact same spot, which I couldn't believe. Crazy. That was crazy to see. But anyway, that is going to wrap it up for us on the show today. We appreciate you guys, and we will see you next week. Take it easy, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Hey, parents. Looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi-mobile will take your kids to amazing places. Your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.